Friends, I am here to tell you something. Menopause is not a disease. It is a natural transition that every woman goes through. As women, it's important that we pause so that we can evaluate where we are in our lives and decide if that aligns with where we truly want to go. If we're out of alignment, it's time to make ourselves a priority and decide what needs to happen that will allow us to live the second acts of our stories as strong, passionate, and healthy women. My guest today is Dr. Sharon Stills, and when she was in medical school, she focused on learning how to be a doctor while being a single mom of two boys, and she never really paused to think about herself. She was too busy to take care of her own hormones, and she wasn't putting herself first. She learned her lesson because fast forward for many years, and she realized that her hormones were out of balance and that it's time to make changes so that she too could experience a sacred second act after menopause. This is The Lindsay Elmore Show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy with honest, open and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Dr. Sharon Stills is a 2001 graduate of the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona, one of the nation's foremost accredited medical schools. She was the host of the Mastering the Menopause Transition recently and is already in production for her next summit. She specializes in European biological medicine, having trained extensively with Dr. Thomas Rau, formerly of the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland. She was chosen to lecture alongside him as a part of the Paracelsus Academy. In addition, she is also extremely well-versed in pro-aging therapies and bioidentical hormone replacement. She is well-known for her Red Hot Sexy Menopause program and helping women take the next step in their sacred second act of their lives. Dr. Stills travels around the world seeking out the best of natural medicine and bringing them back to her patients here in the U.S. Dr. Sharon Stills, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you about, you know, we talk about menopause a lot on the show, and there are so many people struggling to feel like themselves, to be safe in their skin, all of the things. And so, you know, you have the Mastering the Menopause, and you put it in that parenthetical transition, and Hot Sexy Menopause, the Red Hot Sexy Menopause programs. What got you into teaching and training about menopause?
Good question, because when I originally went to medical school, I went to be a pediatrician. So working with women in their hormonal transition is quite a ways from taking care of little babies. So I always believe that a lot of times we're searching outside of ourselves, but if we just stay still and present, what belongs to us, what we're supposed to be doing, our dharma, our journey, will find us. And that's what happened with me as a physician and menopause. I was very early in my practice, and a woman came to me. Suzanne Summers had just written her first book. I think it was called The Sexy Years. And she was like, you know, like in Hallie Met Sally, I'll have what she's having. It was like, I want what she has. I want these hormones and I want to look like her. And my initial thing was, isn't that Chrissy? Didn't I used to watch her? Wasn't she the dumb blonde on Three's Company? I was like, all right, I guess she's had a paradigm shift and now she's into medicine, but I have an open mind. I said, give me the book. Let me take a look at it. You know, give me the next week. Let me thumb through it. And I looked through it and I thought, wow, Chrissy from Three's Company is onto something here. And with my naturopathic medical school training, I can make it even better. And so I went back to the patient and said, okay, we'll do these bioidentical hormones for you. I'm going to make sure you're also looking at your lymphatic flow and your liver and your gut and all of these other things, but let's do it. And I did it for her. And then it was like the shampoo commercial. She told two friends who told two friends who told two friends. And before I knew it, I had like this waiting room full of women either suffering through menopause or postmenopausal, still suffering, who wanted my help. And so my expertise in bioidentical hormone replacement and helping women master their menopause transition was born. And then I took a look at myself, because I am a firm believer in physician heal thyself, in practice what you preach. And I, at the time, was in my early 30s. I was about 32, fresh out of medical school. And I had the worst hormones. I had bloating so bad that people would ask me when my baby was due, which was very embarrassing for everyone involved. And I suffered literally like 3 weeks out of the month. I would get my period and then I would feel good for a few days after it. And then the PMS symptoms, the premenstrual symptoms, they weren't like just 2 days before my period. They were weeks before my period, and it would just start out and get worse and worse and worse. And I thought, I feel pretty hypocritical helping all these women, and I'm sitting here dying and PMSing and miserable. And so I thought I better start applying to them what I've been applying to them to myself. Of course, from a different perspective, from a cycling perspective. And when I did, voila, my hormones got better and my PMS went away, so much so that when I went through menopause, and I was 48 by the time I was done with menopause and standing on top of Kilimanjaro celebrating, that I never even had a hot flash. Menopause has been this beautiful experience for me. And I am just really passionate about sharing that with as many women and men, because they can help the women in their lives, who will listen, because we have been so deceived that menopause has to be about suffering, that it's all downhill. You know, the hormones are going downhill and so is your life, and you're irrelevant. You're not attractive. You don't matter. You're going to get fat. You're going to get cranky. You're not going to sleep. And, you know, that's just part of the aging process. And it totally, yeah, I'm living proof, and I have thousands of patients who are living proof as well.
So before we dive into exactly what you implement in your patients, you said something so smart a moment ago, and I don't think people understand the physiology of this. You said, yes, I'll put you on bioidentical hormones, and I'm also going to make sure that your lymphatics are flowing and that your liver is functioning. Talk to us about why you consider the lymph and the liver so critical all of life, and especially during menopause.
Yes, definitely during all of life. But and I would put the gut in there as well. I think the liver, the lymph, the gut, you know, and of course, then we get into the teeth and all of these other things. But those systems in the body are so intimately connected with hormones. And it's not, we say, oh, you are what you eat. And then we know we've expanded upon that to be, well, you are what you eat, but you're what you actually absorb. Just because you're eating it doesn't mean you're absorbing it. So you are what you absorb. And with hormones, you take your hormones, or you're producing hormones, but what's happening to those hormones, and how are they being detoxed, and how are they being distributed throughout the body? And the lymphatic system is a key player in that. For how progesterone gets around the body, for how we detox the lymphatic system, as well as being part of our immune system. It's definitely the garbage collector of the body and has to take the wastes out. And so from a bioregulatory medicine perspective, which really looks at the terrain of the body, which is how I am trained in addition to being a naturopathic physician, you can't have good health if you don't have lymphatic flow, if your fascia is restricted. And so these areas, the extracellular matrix, the space around the cells, are really where health begins and ends. And I see everything as a mind-body connection. And so we have the physical body, but we also have the emotional, mental, spiritual body. And if you think about the lymphatic system, and it's the lymph flow. And if your lymph isn't flowing, if your lymph is congested, that carries over to your life, where you're unable to be flowing in your life, where you're unable to be participating or enjoying life or handling stress or going with the flow. And so I see them very intimately connected to each other. And so we have to be, one of the reasons I became so obsessed with lymph, and then I'll move on to the liver, but I am lymph obsessed, is because I do computerized regulation thermography, which is a tool from Germany, which it's, we think of thermography and we think of breast health, and it is for breast health, but this is a very specialized machine. It measures over 120, like 120 points on the body. And it's a handheld wand that's taking temperature readings from all these points on the face, for the teeth, and for the lymph. And when I first started doing them over 20 years ago, I started noticing very quickly, wow, everyone's lymph is really congested. And this is the only way I know of. You can do bioenergetic screening, but this is an actual test of your nervous system of regulation. It's very reproducible. It's very scientific. And it's the only diagnostic tool I know of that really measures the lymph system. So we often don't think about it because there's no blood test for it. There's no way to really, I mean, you can palpate and see it's congested. But when I started seeing this in the thermography, I was like, holy guacamole, like everyone's lymph is congested. And it's such a huge contributing factor to breast cancer. And so I really started focusing on, wow, we have got to be opening up lymphatic system. I have got to be addressing this in my patients. And so with hormones, if you're, and I see this a lot when patients come to me from other doctors, it's like they've just been given some hormones. They don't look at the rest of their body. They're not monitoring them properly. And the women are suffering, or if they're not suffering, they're not getting the benefits they should be getting. They're not getting the relief they should be getting. And so it's really important when you think about menopause. Yes, I am a huge, huge advocate for a proper bioidentical hormone replacement, but done in a vacuum and not done in the context of your whole body, I feel like is doing you a disservice. So that's a little bit on the lymph. And then we have the liver. And I would add to that the gallbladder and the bile flow, because that really is like phase three detoxification. We have liver phase one, phase two, but we've got to get things out. We've got to have the bile flowing. And so in the liver is where a lot of these hormones go through glucuronidation in phase two, where they're being made water soluble and escorted out of the body. And so if you're not metabolizing your hormones properly, then you can really go down pathways that can be more proliferative, that can be a factor in a cancer diagnosis, which is always multifactorial. So you really want to make sure your liver is on board. You got to love your liver. And then, of course, the gut, where the microbiome is, where we also have excretion of hormones. We have the estrobilome and beta-glucuronidase, for example, which is really a key in making sure that estrogen is escorted out of the body when your body is done utilizing it and not re-entered into circulation where it can then become toxic. And I think that estrogen, she's such a misunderstood hormone. She's like the black sheep of the hormones, kind of estrogen, cholesterol, these molecules have been really misunderstood and vilified for no reason. And so estrogen, when taken properly, when replaced properly, bioidentically, I'm always talking about bioidentical hormones, is a game changer. And I don't feel like you can live in a healthy manner postmenopausally without replacing these hormones properly. You're just leaving yourself open for not just the symptoms or the skin going or the weight going, all these cosmetic things. And of course, weight is more than just cosmetic, but you're leaving yourself open to osteoporosis, to Alzheimer's, to breast cancer, to cardiovascular disease, to diabetes, to a lot of these chronic illnesses. And so your immune system will not function as well without estrogen. And so we really need to be thinking globally. And so when it comes to estrogen, especially also testosterone, progesterone, but the estrogen has so many metabolites that you really need to make sure your liver, your gut are functioning optimally. So when you are replacing, they're being removed properly in a timely manner, and they're being shuttled down the more protective pathways of metabolism.
Mm-hmm. I would love to learn more about the estrobilome, because we've never really talked about it on the show, but we've certainly talked about how estrogen goes through a recirculation from your gut to your liver and back and forth. And it what you said is saying it's very important to have this estrobilome that helps to get rid of estrogen when your body is done utilizing it, which is critical. You know, I think people think of estrogen dominance as an overproduction of estrogen, but in my experience, that's not really the biggest cause. It's just this accumulation and the inability to get rid of it. And so what is the estrobilome? It's got to be fairly emerging science. And what do we know about it so far?
So, and that's, I just, and I'm going to get to that, but estrogen dominance is definitely a real thing. But typically it is because we're recirculating or we're exposed to all these exogenous, these toxic estrogens through our hair care and body care and touching receipts and things, you know, all these things that are outside of our body. And so I think that's where estrogen really gets like vilified. And it's not our own internal estrogen, so to say. And it's also something that really changes. So estrogen dominance, and when you're a younger woman, when you're cycling, can be more of an issue. But I don't see it as an issue as we're getting really into the perimenopausal years or menopausal, postmenopausal. The story changes. And it can also be relative to, do you really have too much estrogen, or do you just have too much estrogen in relationship to your progesterone because you don't have a lot of progesterone? And so then it becomes even more dominant. And we have to remember, if we're stressed, when you look at the biochemical pathways, you have progesterone, and then that goes into glucocorticoids, which is our stress hormone. So a lot of times if women are stressed, then they're just eating up their progesterone, they're making stress hormones, because when the body has a decision, do I want to reproduce or do I want to survive? It's always going to choose survive. And then if you get too many stress hormones and cortisol, that can block your thyroid conversion from T4 to T3, and you need thyroid for progesterone production. So we're swimming in the sea of estrogen, where a lot of us are stressed out or not handling our stress properly. So we're depleting our progesterone, we're stressing our thyroids. And so it's very easy to have that dominance. And so the estrobilome, and yes, it is, like, I can't wait to learn more about it. And I'm not a researcher, I'm a clinician, but I love seeing, like, I know they're just like scratching the surface, and there's going to be so much more to come. And so now it's just this part of the microbiome that's really specific to estrogen metabolism. And so, and you can check for this in a stool test. You can, and I do, I check in all my patients a stool test, and I can look at beta-glucuronidase levels. And if beta-glucuronidase is elevated, that means that the beta-glucuronidase is going in, and when the estrogen's coming through and supposed to be excreted, it's like the beta-glucuronidase is like going, wait, stop. I'm not going to let you leave. I'm actually going to push you back. You're going to go back to the liver. You're going to go back into circulation. And so we want to lower that beta-glucuronidase if and when we see it elevated. And a good way to do that is with calcium D-glucurate, for example, from a supplement perspective. And so, but not everyone has it elevated. You know, the other thing we have to think about just is, are you pooping? Because if you're not pooping regularly, you're not excreting the estrogen. So it always, in my mind, thinking medically, it always goes back to our emunctories, to our eliminatory organs, to making sure Everything is open and functioning. Are our kidneys functioning? Are we staying hydrated? Are we urinating frequently? Do we have good bowel movements twice a day? Are we going every day? Do we have a complete evacuation? Do we still feel full? Are they formed? Are they not floating? Are they the right color? And so we want to make sure of that. We want to make sure our bile is flowing, that our liver is processing, that our lungs are breathing, that our lymph is moving, that our skin is excreting, because the skin is, to me, is like a third kidney. And if your kidneys aren't working, you're going to see things start to show up on the skin. And so it always goes back to that naturopathic bioregulatory foundation. We want to make sure things are open and draining before we start to put good stuff in.
You know, it's almost like you talk about the body like it's alive. You know, I mean, as you're going through and you're just like, we need to make sure the lungs are breathing, the skin is breathing, the lymph is flowing, the liver is processing, the bowels are moving, the this, the that. It's such a beautiful representation of the fact that every single thing in our mind, body, and spirit is totally connected. If, you know, I can't remember who said it. I might have been Charlotte Gerson, Dr. Max Gerson's daughter, who said, you know, when one thing heals, everything heals. And when one thing breaks, it all breaks. And so that is such a beautiful reflection of what you just said about the body. Now, you mentioned earlier about breast health and the lymph. And breast cancer is a very, you know, concerning disease that women do not want. And it also really ties into the vilification of estrogen in postmenopausal women, and really speaks to the horrific treatment of women as far as in the pharmaceutical industry and the development of these of synthetic progestins and estrogens and all the things. And so before we get to the rest of my interview, let's take a break for a word from our sponsors. This episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show is sponsored by Sambucol. Now that the holidays are over and we are well into the new year, I like to assess all of my routines. What's serving me? What isn't? And is there anything I can add to help aid me in my health and wellness journey? This is where Sambucol comes in. I recently started taking Sambucol's black elderberry every morning to help support my immune system so I can keep doing what I need to do every single day. It's a simple act of self-care that I can do without much effort. Sambucol is made from premium European black elderberries, which are a natural source of powerful antioxidants and key vitamins like A, C, and E. They help support a healthy immune system so you can keep moving. And Sambucol has many ways to get your daily helping of black elderberry, like syrups, gummies, chewable tablets, drink powders, capsules, and more. They even have products for kids, too. My listeners can get an extra 15% off of their next order of $9.99 or more at SambucolUSA.com by using my promo code Lindsay15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order of $9.99 or more at SambucolUSA.com. That's code LINDSEY/15 at checkout. And here's a pro tip. Save this promo and the website address in your notes apps. I know you're busy, and oftentimes we forget things that we intend to remember. So head right now to SambucolUSA.com and use code Lindsay15 to save 15% at checkout. And now, let's get back to the show. I would love to just talk about breast health. How do we know that our breasts are healthy? What are some things that we can do to ensure that they stay healthy? And where do you land on this discussion of estrogen and breast cancer?
I land very strongly. One of the other things that I specialize in is helping women and men who have cancer diagnoses. And I practiced for many years in one of the breast cancer hotspots in the country. So it was something I saw frequently and very
I was not early. Aware that there were breast cancer hotspots. Is that due to environmental reasons?
Yeah, I think it has somewhat to do. I grew up like a 5-minute walk from Grumman's. So it and Grumman's had a lot of toxicity, and there were a lot of not just breast cancer, but cancer hotspots. I had a little stint as like Erin Brockovich trying to help the people in my community. And so there are Marin County in California is another very highly populated area with a lot of breast cancer diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And so I learned because I was also, I mean, I went to school in the States, but I started very early studying over in Switzerland and Germany and learning all of their natural medicine. So I learned very early on that estrogen was not the cause of breast cancer, that testosterone was not the cause of prostate cancer, and that you actually needed to utilize these things to help someone either prevent, treat, or prevent recurrence, that their hormones needed to be balanced. And so I think it gets to be, it's very easy to just kind of jump on this bandwagon. And I don't mean any disrespect, but I kind of think it's lazy medicine. And I equivalent it to the oncologist who says to a patient, don't take any supplements, you know, they're going to interfere with your chemo.
I cannot. I mean, in like it is such lazy medicine. You know, you're not willing to do the research to make an informed decision. And we learned on this show from Dr. Patrick Hanaway just how powerful integrative medicine can be around the time of dealing with a cancer diagnosis. And, you know, and he talked about how he was on like some very serious regimens that helped minimize hair loss, minimize weight loss, minimize pain, minimize skin irritation, you know, from radiation. Like, it is lazy medicine. I agree with you. So do continue, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just, you know, an oncologist say, look, I don't really know about that area. I haven't spent time studying it. But there are physicians like myself or many physicians who have studied and understand. And you can go to the literature. It's in there how certain nutrients help protect your healthy cells from chemo or help the chemo work better and so forth. And so, and that's not to say I actually, a lot of times prefer that patients go totally alternative. That's a whole nother topic, but I also believe meeting patients where they are. And if someone is doing traditional treatments, I definitely want to support them through. So anyway, we're kind of going off on a tangent, but as far as estrogen and breast cancer, it's kind of the same thing. Like, oh, estrogen causes breast cancer. Just stay away from it. But like, first of all, there is no such thing as estrogen. There's like estrogen is an umbrella, and then there's different kinds of estrogens. And yes, like E1 estrone is more proliferative, is if you are overweight, will be produced in your fat cells and can drive proliferative changes. So cancerous changes potentially. And so, but E2 estradiol hits the proliferative receptor sites like alpha, the estrogen alpha receptor sites, but it also hits the beta. And E3, which is estriol, hits the beta. And the betas are inhibitory. And the betas are protective. So there are different receptor sites, different estrogens having different effects. There are different metabolites. For example, 2-methoxyestradiol, which I learned about years ago in Europe, how I kind of got started on this journey, is actually used to treat breast cancer. It's shuts down angiogenesis. It has apoptotic properties to it. It doesn't even get affected if there's an estrogen dominance. It's interacting in a different way, very anti-cancer in the body, and can be used as treatment. So to say that estrogen causes cancer, again, is just lazy medicine. It's, I didn't really go study that, so I'm just going to say it causes cancer instead of, you know what, there's a lot to be known. And it kind of goes back to Oh, you don't have a uterus, you don't need progesterone. It's just like these very old school thoughts that like you have to be keeping up. Like I was just telling you before we came live, I was just at a conference all weekend. I'm just getting caught back up. Like I am constantly going to conferences, lecturing at conferences, listening to conferences, and upgrading my education and my knowledge. And I've been a physician for over 20 years now, but there's still always something to learn, and there's always things that are changing and advancing. There are also things that like were true 20 years ago for good health that are still true today and will be true in 200 years. But there's always changing, like we were talking about the astrobilome. It's like this emerging thing. And so to be a physician, I feel like we take an oath to do no harm and to be a guide and all of these things. But it really should be in there. Like I also commit that I'm going to continually get educated. And I mean, in some ways, we have to do, you have to do 30 CEs every year. So that is in a way forcing you, but I feel like I do like 150 CEs every year. And I do more if I had time, but there's only so many hours in the day. So if you have been told you can't do bioidentical hormone replacement because a family member had cancer, or you had cancer, or you're at higher risk for cancer, I would just highly recommend finding someone else on your team who understands that actually not doing the bioidentical hormone replacement puts you more at risk for cancer than doing it and doing it properly and monitoring it.
I love the first do no harm in the Hippocratic Oath. The other thing I love in the Hippocratic Oath is I will not play at God, where we don't aim to determine the outcome. We just lay the path, as you said, you're the guide. And I love in the oath of the pharmacist, how we accept responsibility to improve our knowledge, expertise, and self-awareness, like being able to craft that better patient communication style with people is also so important. Now, you mentioned earlier that you are in bioregulatory medicine, and we get asked a lot about what's the difference between functional medicine, integrative medicine, holistic medicine, Chinese medicine. There's so many disciplines. What is naturopathy versus osteopathy versus allopathy? And so all the things. And so I would love to just take a step back and say, what does that mean to practice bioregulatory medicine?
Bioregulatory medicine to me, and I practice naturopathic medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, functional medicine. I do all the medicines. And so to me, bioregulatory medicine is the most important piece that I bring to the table, that I bring to my patients, because it's really the foundation. And bioregulatory medicine is really looking at the constitution. So it's saying, my medicine may be your poison. And you can look at constitutions from different perspectives. You can look at it from Ayurveda, from Pitta, Vata, Kapha. You can look at it from a five element theory in traditional Chinese medicine. In isopathy, we have a way of looking at whether you're mucor or aspergillus or notatum. So there's lots of different ways to look at it. And so we take into account that, you know, miasmically, from a homeopathic perspective, the way you detox may not be the way I detox. Or maybe you're an excellent detoxer and you have a soric miasm. So we're looking at all these things to say, first and foremost, we are all human, but we have individualities, and how we heal is a little different from each other. And so it's good to understand that a person. We're also looking at the bioenergetics. So we are taking into account that the space between the cells is where health really ends and begins, that it's more important than what's happening in the cell, so to say, because it dictates what happens in the cell, what goes into the cell, what gets removed from the cell. So we're really looking at the terrain, the extracellular matrix. I believe in a terrain-based theory. I don't believe you can sneeze on me and I can get sick if my terrain is balanced. I believe if you sneeze on me and my terrain is a disaster, yes, I may get sick, but a balanced terrain is my best defense against anything. So we're really paying attention to the dentistry, which is often overlooked. And so we're looking at root canals and cavitations and amalgams and understanding that every tooth is a living organ. Every tooth has a connection to a meridian that affects our body. Every tooth has its own vascular lymphatic supply, and that the microbiome of the mouth is quite important in overall health, just in general. And that if someone has an issue going on in their body, if we haven't cleaned up the terrain of the mouth, we're never really going to get them to that optimal vital place. And so we are utilizing sound and color and light because we're really putting a big emphasis on the bioenergetics, on the biofield that surrounds the body. So those are some of the bigger differences that we're really addressing, psycho-emotional. And then, you can layer on top of that the functional, which will look at a stool test or look at a saliva test or something of that nature. So it's just really grasping the human in front of you in a much broader level and really taking their physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all the planes that exist, taking that into consideration when diagnosing, when treating, and so forth.
Absolutely. I mean, this whole concept that we have that guideline-based medicine, evidence-based medicine, where we treat every single person basically the exact same way in their health and wellness journeys. But, you said it so elegantly that how we heal is an individual experience. And, we have not talked a lot about terrain theory, and how it is fundamentally different from germ theory on the show. And so, you mentioned that the balanced terrain is your strongest line of defense. And so just give us a couple of sentences just about what is terrain theory versus germ theory, and how do we build better terrains? Because we do know that the more diverse your microbiome is, the less likely it is that pathogens become pathogenic. It's not that you're not exposed to them. That's one of the things that's such a big deal. I think a study just last year came out, 10% of people exposed to HIV do not contract HIV. And I remember a study that I read all the way back when I was in pharmacy school about a group of Thai prostitutes that, despite seeing all the Johns, doing all the things, they just did not get HIV. And it was baffling to the investigators, but it is true that when your terrain is robust, you crowd out the bad. And so give us a crash course in terrain theory versus germ theory, and how do we build a better terrain?
When you said, how do we build, I'm thinking, how do you build a better terrain? Go eat some dirt, go stare at the sun, drink some water, immerse yourself. I always, if a child's sick, it's like, go play in the mud. Go dig around, eat a little dirt. It's okay.
Pet the dog.
And so what is terrain theory? So I look at it a lot from a pleomorphic perspective. I believe that we all have these bugs, these trillions of bugs in us that we, when we really break it down, we are more bugs than we are human cells. We're kind of like human cells walking, a little bit of human cells and a lot of bit of bugs attached that makes us the human being that we are. And so if I always use an example, because I think it's a really easy one, strep throat. So we think of, oh, little Johnny went to school and little Sally had strep throat and they shared an ice cream and now he has it. He caught it from her. But we all have strep living in our throats. It's actually symbiotic. These organisms are actually symbiotic. They help, when we think of like the base organisms like mucorracemosis and Aspergillus niger, these organisms are responsible for life. They're responsible for our cardiovascular flow, for protein development, for hemoglobin, for bone structure, for lymphatic flow, for kidney function. And so they're there helping us. And when the terrain goes out of balance. And how does the terrain go out of balance? Becomes acidic. There's lymphatic congestion. There's fascial restriction. There's restrictions. There's deoxygenation. There's overproteinization. There's demineralization. There, I think I might have said that already. There's a lack of essential fatty acids. All of these things contribute to our terrain going out of balance. And so if your terrain, if when little Johnny shared little Sally's ice cream and his terrain was out of balance, like many children's can be because they're eating junk, they're taking antibiotics and so on and so forth.
They're staying inside all day on devices.
Yeah, devices. That's a big one. So then this, what normally lives there, the strep, is now going to go through like an upward movement where it's going to become pathogenic. And when you get things, so by using an antibiotic and killing it, you're just further imbalancing the terrain, and you may be getting rid of the symptoms right then and there, but you're causing problems down the road. And so I use remedies like isopathic remedies that help re-regulate, balance the terrain, and bring the organism back into its symbiotic rather than its pathogenic state. And so how, so we don't worry in my world about catching something. We, you know, if we got to worry about something, we are concerned with keeping ourselves as healthy as possible. And some of this is just basic 101 lifestyle, like moving your body, getting enough sleep, getting quality sleep, eating properly, hydrating, having joy in your life. You want to turn the terrain acidic? Be in fear, think negative thoughts. And I always refer to Masaru Emoto, and I love his work he did with water and showing the crystalline structures in water and how if you said beautiful things to the water, the crystalline structures became beautiful. And if you played heavy metal music and said, you're ugly and I hate you, the structures became quite ugly. And remembering that we are water beings, we are made of water. And so what are the thoughts you're thinking doing to your body? Are they making your body beautiful and healthy, or are they making your body stressed and moving towards disease?
I know when I was interviewing, goodness, God bless me, her name is escaping me, a hydration guru, and
Gina Brea.
Gina, thank you, friend. Gina, I love you. I love you. I also hope you're not listening right now that I forgot your gorgeous name. But she was like, you know, the body is meant to be in constant flow. We're not meant to be stagnant beings. And so she was saying, even no matter what you're doing throughout your day, can you put a little bit more movement into it? And so fascinating that our thoughts have such power, right? That our thoughts have so much power. I love to remind myself that every cell in my body is happy, healthy, and functioning exactly like it should be. I think that's a beautiful thing. And so let's end and talk about sex, baby. Let's do it. Because you have a program called Red Hot Sexy Menopause, which helps women step into their sacred second acts of lives. Why do you think we have this total misconception that postmenopausal women just don't want sex and lose a portion of their physical capacity to have sex? And how do we stay sexier longer?
Well, I think part of that really goes back to hormones. So if you, because we live longer now, we used to just live like long enough, you know, back in the day to like reproduce, do our job, have some babies, keep population going. And then we were transitioning, weren't alive after the age of 30 or 40. And now we can live well into our hundreds. But our hormones, if we're not replacing them, then yes, you are going to have the menopause that you hear about so much, where you're not sleeping, you're dried up, your brain is gone, you can't think, you're gaining weight, and you are apathetic, and you don't even care about sex. But when you are replenishing and keeping yourself balanced, you can have some of the best sex of your life now. I mean, just not having to worry about getting pregnant is like a huge one. And also coming into yourself and knowing who you are. I was just having this conversation, I forget with who, but they're in their 40s. And I was like, yeah, I love my 40s. They're great. But wait till you get to your 50s. They're even better. Because as you age, you just really, wisdom really settles into you and you really come into your own and feel good about who you are as a woman and owning your wisdom. And it's something that can only, I mean, I used to think I was pretty wise in my 20s. And I think I was, but the wisdom I had in my 20s compared to the wisdom I have in my 50s. It's like apples and oranges. And so when you feel good about yourself and when you're connected to your body and you understand that sex is a birthright and passion and pleasure is part of the beauty of this human experience. And it's a way, whether it's a way we're connecting to ourselves or connecting to our partner, that this is a beautiful experience that gives you so much joy. I mean, just the release of oxytocin and endorphins, like there is a lot, and we get these physical bodies and we want to enjoy them. But if you don't have proper estrogen balance, then sex is going to suck because you're not going to want anyone coming near your vagina with anything because it's dry and it will bleed and it will
Painful.
hurt. It will
Yes.
hurt. So, like, I see so many women who are like, yeah, I haven't had sex in 10 years because it's just too painful. And I'm like, well, we're going to change that. And then they're
Yay.
like, oh my God. And then their husbands are thrilled and they're sending me flowers, like, thank you for giving me that. And so it's just, again, it's like if we don't do the work, if we just go with the status quo of what society tells us, then yeah, sex is going to be a thing of the past. But if we take the time and invest in our own health, then we have balanced hormones, and then we can have a sex drive. We can enjoy it. We can reach orgasm. We don't have to have it be painful, and it can be a very beautiful experience.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about how the wisdom settles into you, because I think that's very true. I love Claudia Pinkola Estes's work, the Women Who Run with the Wolves, and Cassie Urbaniak's work. Her book Unbound, The Woman's Guide to Power, is so great. And, I think as we get older and experience more of these female archetypes, where sometimes we are the mothering person, sometimes we are the dominatrix, sometimes we are the care provider, sometimes we are wild women, sometimes, we just are able to experience so much. And I will say, ladies, the older you get, the more clear you understand what you will tolerate out of partnerships, and not, and what you'll tolerate out of not just romantic partnerships, but friendships, institutions that you choose to participate in. I love the wisdom settling into you, because I think it is absolutely so, so true. So, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Dr. Stills's work, head over to www.drstills.com. And Sharon, it's always such an honor every single time I get to chat with you. And, I'm just so grateful for the work that you're doing, teaching people that menopause is not a disease. It's a natural part of life, and it can be a beautiful and expansive part of a feminine journey. It's absolutely gorgeous, the work you do.
Oh, thank you. And right back at you. Thank you for everything you do. And thanks for having me on. And it's my pleasure to, we're on this mission. We want women to have permission to have the knowledge they need so they can really step into their sacred second acts.
Oh, absolutely. So thank you so much for coming in today and being a guest on the Lindsay Elmore Show. Do you want to live a healthy lifestyle, but you are so done with temporary diets and exercises, and you don't know where to find reliable health education. You don't have someone you can trust to lead you to which wellness options are out there. And you think that you don't have enough time to cook or go to the gym, and that leads you to feel defeated. When you go to wellnessmadesimple.us, you can learn practical skills that you need to build a healthy lifestyle. You'll gain access to more than 85 videos, 11 hours of education, and more education is always being added. And you'll join a community that has given more than 2,400 positive reviews to Wellness Made Simple. All you have to do is get access. And right now, we are offering half off of an annual subscription when you shop the code 2023WELLNESS. After that, watch the coursework and then implement daily changes that positively transform your health so that you can feel better. Go to wellnessmadesimple.us, get an annual subscription, and shop the code 2023WELLNESS for half off your annual subscription. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindsayelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag @Lindsay Elmore Show and help us bring the pod to more people.